went away rejoicing. Wise ones gave their hearts to you so they could dwell in yours. O Emmanuel, we adore you. You came to us as a baby. Hold us in your grace. You came to us in a stable, so we would have no trouble finding you. You came to us in poverty to enrich our lives. O beautiful messenger of peace, we adore you. You play with us in the streets of the kingdom. You build your home deep within our souls. You walk with us in the winter of life. O wisdom from on high, we adore you. God in community, holy in one, all the faithful lift their songs of joy to you. Amen. So I wonder if anyone knows how far back in history we need to go to find what is purported to be the first Christmas carol. Anyone got any ideas? Any ideas? I'm going to ask for some maths in a minute, so I'm hoping someone's doing some maths. 17-something here? 16-something? Well, it's generally accepted that the first Christmas carol was the 129 AD Angel's Hymn. So how many years ago is that? Somebody ready to do some maths? How many years ago is that? No? 1895. Thank you, Simeon. Yeah, absolutely. 1,895 years ago, so that's a very long time. And around this time, Christianity-themed hymns started taking over previous pagan songs celebrating the winter solstice. Christmas hymns can be traced to 4th century Rome. They were all in Latin, and we do sometimes sing some Latin words, or choirs sing in Latin often these days. And then by the 12th century, songs referring to nativity themes had emerged. So who tried to ban the singing of Christmas carols in the 16th century? Sorry? Excellent, Katrina. Perfect, yes. And the Puritans, they tried to ban it. So why do we sing Christmas carols? What are we doing when we're singing Christmas carols apart from praising God? And any ideas what we're up to? Celebrating the incarnation. Retelling the nativity story, yeah, excellent. Explaining to people who maybe don't know what happened around Jesus' birth. Expressing the joy and devotion and the inspiring scenes of the nativity. What about the modern carol service? So some of you maybe have been to Nine Lessons in Carols recently, or we had a carol service last Sunday. So does anybody know where that is purported to have been invented? Sorry? Truro. Thank you, Kate. Yep, you are absolutely right. In Truro, in 1880, and that was Edward White Benson, who later became the Archbishop of Canterbury. Next one is close to Jenny's heart, I know. When did people start caroling? You know, Jenny organised our carols in Round Botley 10 days ago. So, when did people start caroling? Sorry? Victorian, excellent, Margaret, yeah. So it was groups of carolers would assemble in squares, public spaces in the 19th century, and they were called wakes. And these collections of singers used to gather to perform for passers-by, who traditionally thanked them for tasty offerings of drinks or mince pies. So there's a little bit more history there. And you hear the word wassailing. It was called wassailing as well. So lots of new choral music, Christmas music is being commissioned all the time. We've got people like Arvo Pärt and Eric Whitaker and Bob Chilcott, who produced contemporary carols. And we have sung some more modern carols over the Advent Christmas period. And the last thing is, what is the most popular carol? According to various surveys. Oh, interesting. Right. There are lots. But the survey that I looked at said that Silent Night is the most popular carol. It's been translated into hundreds of languages, even recorded by pop music artists, 137,000 different versions. So we're going to be singing this shortly, and I'm very grateful to Joanna, Kirsty, Grace, Colin, Jenny, Paul and Wendy for choosing this morning's carols and telling us why they're special to them. So we're going to start with a reading of Psalm 98, and then we will proceed with those people I've just mentioned coming and explaining about their carols. Now, Mel, I'm not certain, what would you like to go now? I think that would be... So Mel and Mary have very kindly said that the children can go through into the John Wesley room with them, if you would like. So, Joanna. Where's Rosemary? There she is. Oh, there she is.
The reading is Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity.
The carol that I have chosen is Joy to the World. This carol, written by Isaac Watts, is, in the words of Alan Jones in his book Favourite Christmas Carols, one that provokes strong emotion and is a joy to sing. In fact, he says, whenever I have sung it as a member of the congregation of Songs of Praise, it really does what it says on the tin and makes the whole place come alive. I agree with this. A carol to enjoy, indeed. A Christmas Day carol, you might say. But it wasn't intended to be a Christmas carol, and in fact, Christmas is nowhere mentioned specifically in it, only the heading, The Messiah's Coming and Kingdom. It's based on the psalm we've just heard, Psalm 98, and was originally intended as a hymn about Christ's triumphant second coming rather than the Nativity. It first appeared in the Isaac Watts book of paraphrases of the Psalms, called in typical 18th century style, the Psalms of David, imitated in the language of the New Testament and applied to the Christian state and worship. And it was published in 1719. The hymn took a while to reach the United States, and when it did, it caused a controversy because it referred to Britain as the Christian state, the Christian state. And so the words were altered to refer instead to, can you guess it, the glorious revolution of July 1796. But that verse is no longer read, you'll be pleased to hear. The tune most commonly used for it is called Antioch. This was arranged by Lowell Mason of New England, and he was rather shy about it at first. He didn't want to put his name to it, apparently because his profession wasn't music, but banking, and he was afraid it might damage his reputation. The origin of the American version is also a subject of controversy. There are passages in Handel's Messiah that are similar. For example, the phrase, heaven and nature sing. But Singing the Faith attributes it to W. Holford's Voce di Melodia of circa 1834 and says it is arranged by Lowell Mason, whose dates are 1792 to 1872. And Singing the Faith places it not with Christmas carols, but in the section headed Jesus Christ, Prophet, Priest, and King. In all, this hymn is absolutely inspirational as far as I'm concerned, and I'm happy to sing it at any time of year. So we're going to sing it now. It's number 330 in Joy to the World, but of course, the words are also on the screen.
Good morning, everyone. The carol I've chosen is On Christmas Night All Christians Sing, which is also known as the Sussex Carol. We don't know who wrote the words or the tune. It's called traditional. The text and the tune were discovered and written down by Cecil Sharp in Buckland, Gloucestershire, not too far from here, and Ralph Vaughan Williams, who you'll have heard of, who heard it being sung near Horsham in Sussex, hence the Sussex Carol. I love the music of this carol. It has a very catchy, lilty tune. The first two lines of music and words are sung twice, so there is lots of repetition, and that helps to make it easy to sing. So that's the first bit of musicology. The second bit of musicology to tell you is that the most interesting thing about this music is the change of timing in the last line. There, the carol starts off with two beats in every bar, and I'm going to sing it to you. So it goes, and one, and two, and one, and two, and one, and two, and one, and two. Really simple, one, two, one, two. But when you get to the last line, it changes. So it goes, one, two, and three, sorry, one, two, and one, and two, and one, two, one, two, three, one, and two, and one, two. So there's one bar that's got three beats in it. So that gives it an irregularity, but it's not a bad irregularity, is it? It's lovely. It's not unpleasant at all, and its effect is to emphasise the first three words of the last line. So when you're singing that, sorry, it's a bit like a choir rehearsal this morning, so when you're singing the last line, just listen out for that bar that's got three beats in it instead of two, and think about the words that you're singing on those on that last line. The Sussex Carol has been arranged by a number of composers. Arranging means taking an existing piece of music and making your own version of it. So different to composing, where you're making up some new music, you're taking somebody else's tune or a tune that already exists and doing something with it. And you're keeping elements of the original music. Our choir at Wesleymen regularly sings David Wilcox's arrangement of the Sussex Carol, usually during our carol service. David Wilcox was a British choral conductor, organist and composer who was the director of music at King's College, Cambridge from 1957 to 1974. He wrote all the famous descants to various Christmas carols that we sing today. The arrangement by David Wilcox starts off with quaver arpeggios in the right hand of the organ or the piano accompaniment. I'm just going to play you a couple of bars, which you probably recognise. Enough. It's lively and happy and uplifting and perfectly sets off the melody of the carol. If someone was to ask me what Christmas sounds like, I would say that it sounds like the first few bars of that arrangement of the Sussex Carol. So let's sing it. It's number 115 in Hymns and Psalms, and the words will be on the screen.
Thank you. Greetings, Merry Christmas from Zimbabwe. So I've come to join you just to share with you one of our favorite Christmas songs. I think it will be shown on the screen. It's Pa Usiku Wo Uchene. You'll probably notice that the translation is not exactly what it says in English. It starts by saying, on a holy night, in a faraway world, an angel shone, which showed us about the birth of a child. There a Lord was born, the Messiah was born, and then it goes on to say to us that Mary was happy and Joseph was surprised by this news. And in the last stanza in Shona talks about Iye Mwari Werudo, which is God of love, and then it says Jesus is our beloved. So we have different types of love that we express in the last stanza. I had a quick look because I wasn't sure I was supposed to do a bit of an introduction, but when I was sitting there, thanks to Google, I looked up and there's something that is written by Sarah Early from Florida State University about Silent Night, how it has humble origins. In Austria or Germany, during times of turmoil, there was an earthquake in other parts of the world in about 1816, 1815, and there was lots of darkness and people were struggling. There was amazing poverty. So I'm not sure whether we can identify with that right now, what is happening in the world and how timely it is that Silent Night, Pa Usiku Wo Uchene, is one of those songs that is popular around the world. We hope that it brings hope and joy to all of us. So I'll sing the first stanza in Shona, and then the rest will do it in English. Next year we may do Shona, Ghanaian or Nigerian as we go along to show the diversity of our songs. Thank you. Can I have the words on the screen, please?
Thank you very much. Kate's now going to lead us in our prayers of intercession.
We have a response in our intercessions. When I say, Lord, come to your people, please respond and hear our prayer. Let us pray through our favourite carols. Hark, the herald angels sing glory to the newborn King. So may we of the church, like the shepherds, hear the eternal message and share it with our communities. Lord, come to your people and hear our prayer. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. We pray for Bethlehem, far from still, and for all people who are trapped in centres of war, in the Middle East, the Ukraine, the Yemen, the Sudan, and other places not hitting the headlines, for all who suffer there, and especially for children. We pray for all who are bereaved by conflict. Lord, come to your people and hear our prayer. Herod then with fear was filled. A prince, he said, in jury. We pray for leaders and rulers and kings and queens, that all may act with justice and compassion and be led into ways of peace. Lord, come to your people and hear our prayer. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. We pray for all who need shelter at this time, and for the Oxford Winter Night Shelter, which offers a respite every night of the week in a different church for 3 months from January to March. We pray for all who are suffering from hunger, anxiety, sickness, or sadness this Christmas. Lord, come to your people and hear our prayer. Unlooked for and searched for, longed for and prayed for, loving God, you come to us now, as you have come to your people in every age. We thank you for all who have reflected the life of Christ. Help us to follow their example, and bring us with them to life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join together in the prayer that Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
One of my favourite carols, which we don't sing very often, and it's more like a hymn than a carol. In the days leading up to Christmas, I was listening to Classic FM in the background, and they had a policy, I think, of playing Christmas music all the time, right through every day. And we had many of the modern carols with all different choirs from various different places singing different versions. And it was quite a nice thing to listen to in the background. But not once did I hear Cradled in a Manger, mainly. It's really more of a hymn than a carol, and was written around written by Reverend George Springer Rowe, who was a Methodist minister. And although he's reputed to have written several hymns, this is the only one that has survived. It was in the Wesleyan Methodist Sunday School Hymn Book of 1879 and seems to have been included in all the Methodist hymn books ever since, and has found its way into Singing the Faith at number 197, and has two tunes set to it, but we normally only sing the second tune. I've never heard the first one quite much, which was set to the words a little bit later than the hymn. And I particularly like, and I'm drawn to, the first two lines of the last verse, "And to those who never listened to the message of thy birth, who have winter but no Christmas, bringing them thy peace on earth." So can we stand and sing Cradled in a Manger meanly?
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. So my top three carol choices that I sent to Janet initially included Who Would Think That What Was Needed, which is coming up later, which I love for the fantastic words, and Joy to the World, which we've already sang, for a tune that always brings me joy. So excellent choices, Joanna and the Sprays. And it means I get to sing three of my favourite carols this morning. So today I'm focusing on It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. And I don't actually have a huge amount to say about it, but that's just as well, because Janet also asked me to talk about the carol singing that we do from Wesley Men. So I'll do that first. So by chance, I seem to have become Wesley Men's carol singing coordinator over the last few years. This year we sang carols elsewhere twice, as well as all the lovely carols that we sing here. So we do classic house-to-house carol singing on three streets on Elms Rise in Botley. For many years, before my time here, this used to happen. It was raising money for NCH Action for Children and involved Anthony Eddy playing a keyboard balanced on a pram with a hot water bottle strapped to his chest so that he could warm up his fingers in between the carols. And about halfway round our route, a lovely household would provide mince pies, warm mince pies and sweet treats. I think I did this version of the caroling once, nearly 20 years ago, and that was just before it stopped for many years. But then in 2017, we restarted the tradition, this time for Christian Aid's Christmas Appeal. As before, we start and end at Liz and Terry Stock's house, and we follow the same route. We sing at a couple of very specific houses on the way to the main event because Ralph Jones and Dorothy Stepney, where's Dorothy, live there. So these are people who are part of Wesley Men. So we sing for them on our way to the main streets. Very sadly, since 2017, the provider of the warm mince pies is no longer there, which is a shame. What I particularly love about doing this carol singing, one of the things I particularly love is the intergenerational aspect of this event. So this year, I think we ranged from a five-year-old to people in their 70s, and we had four young adults with us there who used to join in when they were children, which is lovely. This year we had a great response from the households, a particularly good response we thought. So lots of people standing on their doorsteps or coming out onto the street to enjoy listening to the singing. And generally this year we had fewer completely blank looks when people opened the door and fewer times when there was no reply, even though you really know there's somebody in. A few days beforehand, we make a little flyer and deliver that to let people know which night we're coming. And people know from that which church that we're from. And for the last 2 years on the flyer, I've said really clearly that people are very welcome to join us at Wesley Men on Christmas morning or indeed any Sunday morning. As far as I know, nobody has yet done that, but you never know when that might happen. As was announced last week in the service, this year we raised over £540 for Christian Aid's Christmas Appeal, which is a totally fantastic amount and our best total ever. And this money will be used by Christian Aid partners to help people fleeing from terrible conflict in South Sudan, which is a crisis totally worthy of being in our headlines, but which doesn't get a look in because of everything else. Moving on to the second carol singing event. This has happened for 2 years running now, so I think I can announce it as a new Wesley Men tradition. I hope so anyway. We sing at Brookfield Care Home in Greater Leeds, which is run by MHA, also known as Methodist Homes for the Aged. It is not a coincidence that my mum moved into Brookfield in 2023. It is lovely to go and sing carols there on many different levels. It is lovely to see the residents joining in with the carols, including some residents who had seemed oblivious to everything that was happening around them before the singing. It is lovely for us to sing the carols in full harmony, of course, especially as we go very early in December before everything gets too busy. And so certainly for me, it's normally the first time of singing all the lovely carols for that season, which is very enjoyable. The best thing for me about doing this carol singing is the opportunity to give this wonderful early Christmas present to my mum. And now my mum is probably on Zoom right now. Hello, mum. She listens in on Zoom from Brookfield each Sunday morning. So my mum is a lifelong Methodist with a lovely voice. Dementia has stolen quite a lot from her, but she still knows all the words to all the carols. She still knows all of the alto lines, and she sings every carol with us with a big smile on her face. So it's a wonderful gift for her and for me. So thank you to Wesley Mem and to all the carol singers. And finally, it came upon the midnight clear. I chose this carol for three reasons. Firstly, it is definitely a classic carol. It's very familiar, but it's also not one of the ones that gets repeated so many times in December that there's a risk of being a bit bored of it by Christmas. Secondly, it's got a very lovely alto line, especially for the last line of the verse with those gorgeous falling thirds. And then the words. There are some really beautiful phrases. Angels bending near the earth with peaceful wings unfurled. They bend on hovering wing and they bring a love song. The world in solemn stillness lay with the woes of sin and strife and 2,000 years of wrong. The poetry is very beautiful, but I also love that it's talking about the state of the world as written in 19th century America, but which still very much resonates now. For me, hymns and church and my faith generally are more meaningful when they're connected to the real world with all its challenges. Obviously, a lot of carols focus on the Christmas story, which makes sense. But I really like that this one takes that as its starting point and then moves on to the reality of the world, of war, sadness, and sin on earth. And it includes a direct plea to stop the noise of war and to let in the angels' song of peace. It speaks to us today, and I really value that relevance. So I can see why the Methodist Church chose to focus on this carol for this year's Christmas campaign, and if you want to find out more, it's still all on the Methodist website as the Hush the Noise resources. So to finish, before we sing the actual carol, I really like this carol and other individual carols, but I also love how carols generally give us an opportunity to cheer people up on a winter's evening, an opportunity to raise money for a good cause, an opportunity to invite people into our church, to make connections across generations, to sing together in harmony and in community, to access memories long buried or hidden, to recall in song and poetry the incredible Christmas story, and to bring God's love and peace right into our everyday lives. So amen to all that, and let us sing in Singing the Faith, number 205, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
So we're now going to take up our offering. So if you just pass the plate around, there's no pressure. If you not come prepared, it's absolutely fine. We know people give in lots of different ways. Lord, we thank you for these gifts. May they be used to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, everyone. The carol that Paul and I have chosen is Who Would Think? The world next year can, let's be honest, feel a bit bleak. Trump, the risks of what AI may bring us, and seemingly intractable conflicts. But the joy of this carol is that it reminds us that our God is a God of surprises. They turn the future upside down. They come as a small child, not a powerful king, not a ridiculously wealthy person. And we are challenged not to accept things as they are, but to work to turn the tables on social injustice. And crucially, there is hope at the end of the last verse, and hope is so precious in difficult times. God, it says, will surprise us with heaven on earth, and that is a wonderful image. And finally, the carol is written by John Bell of the Iona community, based in Glasgow and the beautiful Isle of Iona off the west coast of Scotland. And that's a very special place for Paul and me, where we have found God, we've found hope in the ecumenical community who work there for peace and social justice. So let us sing together. Let us sing number 222, Who Would Think?
Thank you.
I'm really grateful to those people that chose hymns today. So Joanna, Kirsty, Grace, Colin, Jenny, and Paul and Wendy. It's been very moving and informative, and it's really enhanced our worship this morning. So thank you all so much. Please do join us for tea and coffee and conversation through in the hall. And we'll just finish with our blessing for today. May he who by his incarnation gathered into one all things earthly and heavenly, fill our lives with his light and joy and peace. And the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with us always. Amen. We dwell in the peace and joy of Christ. Thanks be to God. Sorry, Sarah.